Well, this morning, we'll continue our study in the book of Romans. We're at chapter 15. So if you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 15, we'll continue our study. Paul is beginning to wind down this letter to the church at Rome. God continues to give us instructions, however. Ever since chapter 12, he's given us instructions on serving him. True worship is service to God. Sacrificial service to God, not just singing on Sunday mornings. True worship is a lifestyle. True worship is a lifestyle of service to God. He showed us in chapter 12 to do just that. To be busy serving him. Chapter 13, we even saw that we're supposed to be submissive to our governing authorities. We're supposed to love one another. We're to be genuine, real Christians as we serve Christ. Chapter 14, we saw that God expects us to not just to do the bare minimum in serving him, but to seek the absolute best, to seek to please him in all aspects of our lives, and therefore even develop personal convictions in order to do so, and to limit our rights, our freedoms, for the sake of others. Chapter 15, God teaches us the responsibility of the spiritually mature, the mature believer. What are the responsibilities for the spiritually mature? And a reminder of the encouragement that we have in our hope in Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me, please, as we read verses 1 through 6 this morning of chapter 15. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you especially for who you are. Our faith is not in vain, for our faith is in the one true living God, the creator of all, sustainer of life itself, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. You're our God, and we love you, and we're grateful that we can meet together freely and study your word, fellowship with one another, and we ask, Father, that you would change us this morning, that you would work in our hearts, draw us to you, convict us of sin, mold us and shape us into the image of Christ for your glory, for your honor, for you alone are worthy, and we are yours. And this is your time, and we do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. September 1924. A fellow named Roe Fulkerson. Yeah, Roe, R-O-E, I guess that's how you pronounce that name. Roe Fulkerson published an article in the Kiwanis magazine with a very unique unusual title. Later in 1943, Father Flanagan, the founder of Boys Town, used that same title as the motto for Boys Town. Years later, that same unique title became a title of a song written by Bobby Scott and Bob Russell, made popular by the music group The Hollies in the 1960s. Some of you may be a step ahead of me. The unique title, "He Ain't Heavy, He's My Brother." You've heard that. It personifies one brother carrying, literally, another brother who can't walk, and doing so with the wonderful attitude. Not complaining, not begrudgingly, but with an attitude of joy, an attitude of, hey, this is my brother. It's not a burden. It's not heavy. He's not heavy. Glad to do it. So it is with our text this morning. We'll see that should be our attitude with one another. In fact, my prayer for our church is that as we grow, we'll do so with an attitude of, he's not heavy, he's my brother. So let's get started. Verse 1, chapter 15. "Now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength." The strong and the weak. The strong, the Greek word, is dunatos. Dunatos. And it more properly means the capable, the able. Not necessarily the strong, but the able. Those without strength, the Greek word there is adonatos. The little prefix a or a, used just like in our English language. When we put the prefix a, what does that mean in front of a word? That is a prefix, right? You know my English. Moral, amoral. Something's moral, morality, amorality. It's the opposite, or it's not. It means not. Not moral. And so it is in the Greek with dunatos, able, and then adunatos, unable. So there's a contrast here in verse 1. It's not just strong and the weak, it's the able and the unable. It's a reference to spiritual maturity. Those who are mature in Christ and those who are less mature in Christ. Those who are strong and able spiritually, and those who are weak and unable spiritually. Old, mature believers in Christ and young, new believers in Christ. That's the contrast. They're opposites. So what is a spiritually mature Christian to do? What's this capable, able, strong, mature believer to do, according to our text? Bear the weaknesses of those without strength. Bear the weaknesses of the unable. The word bear is a very intriguing word. It literally, in the Greek, means to pick up and carry. In fact, the same Greek word is translated in Scripture and used in Scripture about picking up and carrying a water pitcher or stones or even a cross. The same word here. So do you get the picture? God is telling mature believers to literally pick up and carry the less mature believers. Do you get that picture? We pick up, we carry our brother and our sister in Christ. We walk alongside of them. We let them lean on us. It's another song, isn't it? We prop them up. We carry them. We put them on our shoulders if we need to. He ain't heavy. He's my brother in Christ. That's the picture. So what? Big deal? Listen, we are in a war. You realize that? A spiritual war. By Satan. He hates what we're trying to do here. He hates what you're trying to do as you try to grow spiritually. And we are in a war, a battle for you, for your family, for your sons and daughters, a battle for your time, your attention, your treasures, your life, your soul. Man, we are in a battle. And in a battle, in a war, we cannot go it alone. You can't go into battle by yourself. That's the point here. Especially men. We men. I'll include me. We men cop this some macho attitude. I can do it myself. I can go alone. I don't need anybody. I can survive all by myself. I'll make it through. Don't we, guys? It's wrong. We are in a spiritual battle. And we can't go it alone. We are to do more than just survive and make it through the day. We are to thrive as Christians instead of just survive. How's your day? I made it. Made it through another day. Survived another one. That's not the way it's supposed to be, guys. We'll be thriving as we grow spiritually. But the problem is you can't do it alone. If we're to grow individually and as a church, we must do it together. Can't do it by ourselves. Can't do it alone. You know what that means? We must carry each other. And that's okay. We're to carry one another. I'm to find somebody to carry. I'm to find somebody to carry me. Not literally. Find somebody to help them spiritually. Man, you've been a Christian a long time. You know God's word. You've studied it yourself. You've memorized scripture. Put somebody on your shoulders. Find somebody who's less mature spiritually than you and help them. That's what we need to be doing. That's carrying your brother. He's not heavy. Well, Pastor, you know, I'm just not comfortable doing that. Maybe I'm a new Christian or just haven't learned God's word like I should, maybe. I don't feel that I'm one of the strong, one of the able, one of the capable. And then you know what you're to do? Find somebody to carry you. It's the key ingredient in growth. We call it discipleship or mentoring nowadays. God instructs us to carry one another. You mature believers, don't keep it to yourself. Find somebody less mature and meet with them. Help them. Show them the way. We're in a battle. Go arm in arm at least. Men, if you need help, don't cop a macho attitude. Those attitudes leave you behind and dying in the jungle warfare. Hey, I need help. Find somebody to help you. Find somebody that you perceive to be more mature spiritually than you and ask them and go to them. Teach me, train me, show me the way, carry me. It takes a little humility. If you want to grow, growth takes humility. Back to our text, verse 1. What else are the mature Christians to do? Now, we, Paul includes himself in This, as a mature believer, we who are strong, mature, able, ought to bear the weaknesses. We ought to pick up and carry those. Without strength, we're unable. And what else? Not just please ourselves. The strong are the capable, the able are to carry, to pick up and carry the unable, the weak, the less mature. And they're not just to please themselves. Why is that significant? Because true love is selfless. You hear me? True love is selfless. True love takes sacrifice. If you love somebody, you give up stuff for them. It's true in any relationship, isn't it? Every good parent understands this. Man, I did not ever understand thoroughly the sacrifices that my parents made for me as a kid until when? Until I became a parent. Because I love my kids, I started seeing and understanding to love them properly takes sacrifices. True love takes sacrifices. True love doesn't exist to please yourself. The same is in marriages, isn't it? In a marriage relationship. Man, you go into marriage thinking it's all about you, you're in for a rude awakening, aren't you? In fact, I tell people I counsel, it's not even a 50-50 proposition. You go into marriage thinking it's 100% me. You worry about you, and you do 100%. Don't meet your spouse halfway, you do it all. If they have that same attitude, then you're going to have a great marriage. It takes sacrifice to properly love someone, to have a loving relationship. It ain't about you. Man, I saw a car a while back, and in big letters, you know, people put letters on the back of your windshield window, back window. It said, "It's all about me." I just shook my head. I said, "Man, they will learn someday." It was a young lady, or young woman, all by herself. All by herself, too. I wonder why. But it ain't about you. It ain't about me. Relationships take a sacrifice. Love is selfless. And so it is with our love for God. We talk a lot about that. We have for chapters after chapter. We serve God by making sacrifices. Sacrificial service is true worship. But you know what? As we love each other, it takes sacrifices. And man, we yield our rights. We yield our freedoms. We don't do stuff that we probably could do for the sake of our brother or sister in Christ. And we love them. And we want to see them grow. So we don't do some things, but we give up some things. We sacrifice. We sacrifice time. If you're going to disciple someone, if you're going to mentor someone, if you're going to carry someone on your shoulders, it's going to take some time. You're going to give up some time. You might even give up some treasures along the way as well. But that's the expectations. Why? Because we're in a war. It's a battle out there. It's a mission field. It's a battlefield. And we need each other. Verse 2. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good. It's good pleasure. We're to please God. We're to please our neighbors. But we're to please our neighbors for his good. We're to love others in a way that's good for them. How do you do that? How does that happen? Look at the rest of the verse. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his what? Edification. Edification is how we please someone for their good, how we love them for their good. What does edification mean? It's kind of a big word for me. It means to instruct and to improve spiritually. That's what that word means. To build up spiritually. You get that? Let that sink in. Man, we are not only to carry each other, but now we're to edify. We're to build up one another spiritually. Do you realize that's your job? It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just the Sunday school teacher's job. God says here, it's your job. As you grow into a spiritually mature believer, you are to invest back into another believer. And your job is to carry them, help them, walk with them, show them the way out of the jungle, the battlefield. And you're to equip them. You're to train them. You're to teach them. You're to build them up spiritually. That's huge, isn't it? That's a big responsibility. That's your job. Exactly what God expects. It's our obligation. If we love one another, and someone's unable, we'll put them on our shoulders. He ain't heavy. He's my brother in Christ. They need training. They need edifying. They need to be taught and shown the way, mentored in their faith. Then we take the time, we sacrifice the time, and we make the investment. And we edify. That's our job. All of that. All that together is a huge part of discipling. And it's required for growth. And we're supposed to be doing it all. We're supposed to be growing ourselves, and we're supposed to be helping others grow as well. Are we doing that? Who are you discipling now? Who are you investing in now? Who are you helping? Who are you carrying? Who are you loving on now? If we're going to please God, and if we're going to grow spiritually, it has to be done. You need more incentive? Let's look at verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself. But as it is written in Psalm 69:9, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. Jesus did not empty himself positionally from heaven. He did not take on the form of a man and dwell among us and live a sinless life and willingly lay himself down on a cross to be crucified, to die, and to be risen again 3 days later for himself. He didn't do that to please himself. You know why he did that? Why did he do that? To please God. Turn to John chapter 6. Back to the left a few books. The Gospel of John chapter 6, verse 38. Think about the sacrifice that Jesus made. If you need some more incentive, I'm giving up some time, some treasures for the sake of your brother in Christ. John 6, 38. I was in John 4. I wasn't in the right chapter. John 6, 38. I'm with you now. Jesus talking, for I have come down from heaven not to do what? Not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Jesus came down to do the will of his Father. Turn back to John chapter 4, a few chapters. John chapter 4, verse 34. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Man, can you say that? My food, my sustenance, my nourishment, that which is a vital need for me is to do the will of God. That's serious. Jesus was serious, and he came not to please himself, but to please God. He made the greatest sacrifice in order to carry you, because he loves you. And we have got to take a serious look at the sacrifices Jesus made for us. You know why? Because we're full of excuses, aren't we? Because we're in a battle and a war, over a waging war over our time, over our interest, over what we do day in and day out. Satan hates what we're trying to do. He doesn't want you to grow spiritually. He doesn't want me to grow spiritually. He doesn't want this church to grow spiritually. Amen. Because we're in a battle. We need arm in arm, shoulder to shoulder, carry each other, disciple, educate, train, teach, edify. And we need to make the sacrifices and make the investments so that we can grow. Look back at our text. Romans 15. Satan is the master deceiver. He deceives and he distracts and he destroys. We're in a war, guys. And even the most mature believer can get distracted if we're not careful. Back to Romans 15, look at verse 1 again. Now we who are strong ought to. The Greek word there is not just a recommendation or a suggestion, but it signifies obligation. It's the same word used in Hebrews 5:3, talking about the priest and their obligation to actually make the sacrifices for the people. A priest is under an obligation to God to actually make the sacrifices. People bring animals, he's supposed to kill them, shed blood, offer those sacrifices for the people. Ought to. Obligation to. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2. We who are strong ought to bear, to carry, to edify. 1 John, past 1 and 2 Peter. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The one who says he abides in him ought. Same word. Ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. In context, if you say you're in Christ, the one who says he abides in Christ ought to, is obligated to walk in the same manner as Christ walked, to behave in the same manner as Christ behaved. Man, if you say you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you abide in Christ, that you're in Christ, You have an obligation to behave as Christ did. Look over at chapter 3, 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. We know love by this, that he, Jesus Christ, laid down his life for us, and we ought to. Same word. We're obligated to do what? To take it easy. To get distracted. To look after our own interest. To please ourselves. To worry more about our job, our bank account, our career goals, our sports team. No. We're obligated to lay down our lives for the brethren. That's even more than carrying a guy, isn't it? He ain't heavy, he's my brother in Christ. I love him, I'll make a sacrifice. I'll sacrifice my time for him. Will we lay down our life for him? Look at chapter 4 in 1 John. Verse 11, ought to, we're obligated to. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to. We are obligated to love one another. Man, we're obligated to walk as Christ walked. We're obligated to make sacrifices for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we're obligated to love one another. In our text this morning, Romans 15, 1, we're obligated to carry each other. We're obligated to edify. We're obligated to bring alongside. We're obligated to help each other grow spiritually. To build them up spiritually. We're not just to put up with them. Isn't that the way you feel sometimes? To tolerate them? To endure them? God says we're obligated to spiritually build them up. It's a huge responsibility. And God gives it to the strong. Are you strong? Are you getting stronger? That's our responsibility, to grow in Christ and help others grow in Christ as well. It's obligation. Back to Romans 15. Romans 15, responsibilities of the mature in Christ. Verse 4, what's the source of our strength? Romans 15, verse 4, for whatever was written in earlier times, that's the Old Testament, a reference to Scripture, was written, why? For what purpose? For our instructions. The purpose of Scripture is to instruct us. We need instructions. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instructions, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, that's the benefit of Scripture. There's benefit in Scripture. It instructs us, but we get perseverance and encouragement from the Scriptures. There's a benefit. And what's the result? So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have what? Hope. Man, I just survived another day. Just made it through another one. As a born-again believers in Jesus Christ, as we get into God's Word, we persevere. We're encouraged. And the result is a strong hope in Jesus Christ. We thrive. We don't survive. We not only survive. We cannot edify without Scripture. We cannot grow unless we get into God's Word. You cannot truly disciple another person and build them up spiritually without God's Word. It doesn't happen. That's why the rest of the world calls it mentoring. Because they mentor people, they encourage people, they show them a way of a profession, a trade, how to network, how to do whatever job that is to do, like an apprentice, but they don't disciple because they don't have God's word. Biblical discipleship takes God's word. The strong in Christ know God's word. The growing in Christ know God's word. And they're in it day after day after day. It's their food. It's their heart's desire. They memorize it. They chew on it. They dwell on it. They do it and they share it. The word of God is our energy drink for the soul. Is it in you? A little corny, but do you get it? It has got to be the central, vital part of the growing Christian. It gives us perseverance. It gives us encouragement. And the result, strong hope in Jesus Christ. And we can't grow without it, and we certainly can't carry other people without it. We can't edify them properly unless we are in it. Verse 5 and verse 6, Paul's prayer for us. Look at this. Now, may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. As we get into God's word, as we carry one another, as we edify one another, look what happens. We glorify God in unity. In unity. Look at the words there. Of the same mind. With one another. That's unity. With one accord. With one voice. You want to grow spiritually? You want others to grow spiritually? You want this church to grow spiritually? Unify. Get into God's word. Personally. Get into God's word in small groups. In your house. On Wednesday nights or Thursday nights, ladies. Or Monday morning or Tuesday morning, men. With one other person. And the result is glory to God. Together, unified, loving God, loving one another, carrying and edifying one another. Man, it's a beautiful thing. It's a powerful thing. It's the expected thing. It's the obligated thing. It's the thing we're obligated to do. So let us do it. This week, practice edification. Thrive. Don't just survive this week. How do you thrive? Get into God's word. If you're not into God's word, you're running on empty. It's our fuel. Remember that this week. Our spiritual fuel for our soul. Edify. If you're not being discipled, find someone to disciple you. If you can't find anybody, call my office. There's nothing more important than I do here than disciple other people. I'm committed. To grow. Even if it's one soul at a time.